All right, we're on page number 5 in your booklet. Page number 5.
What's the reference, Bible reference?
Oh, the Bible reference? Well, we're going to get to that in just a second. Okay. Now, where did we quit last week? Where did we go off? Because I'm going to go back and read.
About the fifth plague or something.
Okay.
Like that.
E? All right. Well, let's go back and just recap just a little bit, because some of you weren't here. And I want to recap it just a little bit before we get going. How many of you were here last week? All right. How many of you weren't here last week? All right. So we'll cover this just a little bit. Now we had... water. All right. The plague, that the water was turned to blood. Okay. What's the word for water in Hebrew? What? No.
Mayim.
All right, Mayim. So now we have the water, and we have the water turned into what? And blood is Dam. All right, Dam. And remember the word Abam. It also has blood in it. Okay, now I talked about this a little bit last week, where God breathed into Adam, the breathings of life. And many scholars believe that God breathed into him blood, because that's what made him alive. All right, and he became a living being, and every life that was ever to live in this world was placed in Adam at that time. All right, so we have a. Mayim turned in, and then we have the water turned into blood there in the Nile River, and all the springs around were turned into blood. Okay. By the way, it is on page 22 if you're cross-referencing this with the Bible in 8 ages. Number 2 was the plague of what?
Frogs.
All right. So we had these frogs. All right. The frogs. Cephalopodia. That's what the word was. And how did these frogs, how did they get into the land? Remember?
Came up out of the water.
Did God create them? Huh? Oh, they came out of the... All over. God called them into the land. Now, were the magicians able to turn water into blood? At least they made it look like it was water and blood. Were they able to get frogs to come?
Yeah,
they were able to get frogs to come. All right. Now we had that, and by the way, that's Exodus 8:1-15, and Exodus 7:14-25 was the water turned to blood. Now lice. Now we looked at this term for life. Kenob, or kin. All right. And what were these? What is this lice? Remember what this lice was? What was it? What was the lice? You remember what the lice were? Were they just lice? What were they?
All kinds of insects.
All kinds of insects. All right, all kinds of creeping, crawling insects. We have lice, we have fleas, we have ticks, and lice, head lice, body lice. Makes me itch all over just thinking about it. But you know something? In all, everything that happens here, I want you to see something. God's judgment is just a little bit tempered with grace, because it could have been a lot worse. And what happens to Israel later is worse than this. Did you know that? Think about that for a while. When God had Israel out in the wilderness, did some things happen out there even worse than this? What happened? Did they have any tarantulas out there? Did they have scorpions out there in the wilderness?
Snakes.
Did what?
Snakes.
Snakes. And what did the snakes do to them?
Bite them and eat
them. He bit them. And what did they do? They died a terrible, terrible, painful death. And what did they do? What was the cure for that, by the way?
Moses was a
stick. Huh?
The rod.
Okay, they put a rod upon it. That's what the what's the symbol for a doctor symbol? A rod with a serpent on it.
Snake on a stick.
Huh?
Snake on a stick.
All right. Now that all happened. Now, was God tempering this judgment with grace here? He was. He's tempering his judgment with grace. Now, just think about over here in the tribulation period. Think about over here now. Some of these same plagues are happening over here in the tribulation period, isn't it? All right? Now, is there any temperance with grace here?
Yeah.
In the tribulation period?
Yes. He sometimes quits a little bit and gives them a chance to repent.
Yeah. God always gives you a chance to repent, doesn't he? All right. Are there going to be people saved during the tribulation period?
Lots of them.
All right. Lots of people are going to be saved during the tribulation period. Was anyone saved outside of Israel in the land of Egypt?
Apparently there were.
Yeah. How many of them came out? How many of the Egyptians left Egypt? Well, a great number of them. That's what we call a mixed multitude. Were there any people that left, were there any Jews that left Egypt that were not saved?
Lots of them.
What did God do with them?
Well, some of them were killed.
Yeah, that's right. Some of them got killed out there, outside of these plagues. All right, let's go and look. All right, we're on page number 5 in your workbook. We just studied the insects, and the insects were what?
Flies, flying insects.
Arub. All right, these were the flies. Okay. We had lice, now we have flies. We have all kinds of flying insects here, by the way. What kind of flying insects can you think of today?
Wasps, gnats.
Wasps, gnats. How many of you ever been bit by a horsefly?
Uh-uh.
Oh, you're lucky. Horseflies can bite pretty hard, these biting flies. You get out there by these dairies where I live, and these flies can bite you. You ever been bit one on them, Brother Lee? Huh? I bet you have. They can bite the blood out of you. The blood will, and the horses. Sometimes the horses out there and cattle up. Have you ever heard of a heel fly? Any of you heard of a heel fly? Boy, they bite them hard. They really bite them hard, and they lay eggs in their bodies, in their flesh. They bite hard. Well, sometimes cattle will stampede when they hear heel flies come. Well, here we have all kinds of flying insects. All kinds of them. Hornets. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Was God trying to get Pharaoh's attention? All right, now let's look at these insects. In Exodus 8, 20-32, all right? That's where they were. Remember, they were Arab. Now, we get down to number E. Is that where we finished off last week? All right, we finished off number E last week. The moraine. All right, the plague of rain on the cattle killed of the Egyptian cattle. This pestilence, all right? This was a pestilence. The burr. Exodus 9, 1 through 7. Let's go there. Exodus 9, 1 through 7. Exodus. What's the book of Exodus mean? Huh?
Exit.
Exodus? What language does the name Exodus come from? What was it?
Greek.
Because they studied the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament, and that's how they got the names there. Exodus means the road out or the way out. Exodus 9, all right? Exodus 9. Who's over there in Exodus 9? All right, brother.
No.
9, 1 through 7, all right? 9, 1 through 7.
He can read it.
Okay, he can read it. Okay. Right.
1 through 7?
Uh-huh, 9, 1 through 7.
Then the Lord said to Moses, go into the Pharaoh and tell him, thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me.
All right, now let's hold on right there. Here they go before Pharaoh again, and Pharaoh and Aaron's doing the speaking, basically. God tells Moses what to say. Moses tells Aaron. I know it's not that way in the Ten Commandments and all that stuff, but that's what the Bible says, all right? And what happens here now? Let my people go. Number two. You want to read that number two also?
For if you refuse to let them go and still hold them, behold, the hand of the Lord will be on your cattle in the field, on the horses, on the donkeys, on the camels, on the oxen, and on the sheep. A very severe pestilence.
Uh-huh. All right. Now let's just think about this for a while. Back at this period of time, how many banks were there in Egypt? Do you think the stock market was in existence at that time? How many stocks and bonds do you think were there? Well, just think about it for a while. Huh?
One.
Pharaoh had his own bank. All right. How did you estimate your value as a person or a nation? How did you estimate your value?
Livestock.
And when the Bible talks about Abraham now, back there in the days of Abraham, way back over here, in the time of promise, what does it tell about Abraham? How does it tell you how rich he was? How much livestock he had? How many cows, how many horses and everything?
Same thing was true of Lot. Job.
Yes.
Job.
And that, how old is that book?
The first one, I guess.
Well, that's probably the oldest book we have in the Bible. It doesn't go back to the oldest period of time here, and in the Gospel of John, the first verse and verse chapter is the oldest time. But just think about now. Wealth. How do you really consider wealth at this period of time? Let's go to the book of Tribulation. The book of Revelation. All right? The book of all those tribulations. In the tribulation period, what's the most important thing there? In the tribulation, the great. What's the most important thing?
The judgment.
Think back there. What's the most? If you're an individual and you're alive back there, Brother Bill, what do you need most of all?
Food.
What?
Food
and water. I've been reading a story about some 49ers that came across Death Valley out there. And the more I read about them and everything else, you know, they were a pain in that bunch of people, most of them. They were so prejudiced that they wouldn't deal with any of the Indians at all. Every time they wanted something, they would grab the Indians, beat them up, and make them go lead them to water. They'd capture them and stomp on them a little bit and threaten them to get them to lead them to water. Now, if they'd have gone in there and said, "Hi, you know, can you guide us through this place?" Because the Indians lived there, didn't they? They knew every scrap of anything that was alive they could eat. They knew how to use every bit of vegetation. They knew where every real non-poisonous water was. But that isn't the way they went. They finally got out there in one place. How many of you ever heard of the Lost Gunsight Mine? Anybody heard of the Lost Gunsight Mine? A guy found a big piece of silver ore, and he took it to San Francisco, and he made a gun sight out for his gun out of it one time. Okay? When they got over there in this place, some of them had a lot of gold and a lot of silver. You know what they did with it? Finally got down the oxen that were pulling their carts, they could only leave on there what was the most important thing. What did they do with the gold and silver? They buried it. It was of no use out there. One boy by the name of Manley sat out there, and he was, boy, they were starving, and he was a scout, and he'd go out, and he'd go up in the mountains. He'd climb the tallest place out there, and he'd got out there, and you know what he'd dream of at night? Being back home. He came out, he had gold fever. And finally, when he got through there, he said, I could have walked off and left all these people. There were women and children there, and I felt morally responsible to try to help them. I could have got out of here and gone across that place and gone on. He was a professional hunter and guide and everything else back in the East where he was. But he said, I just felt a moral responsibility to him. But he said, I left my father's home whether I never... I had three meals a day. I had all the clean, fresh water I ever wanted. And the clothes, I had a bed to sleep in. And food. I had everything I wanted. Boy, what he would have given for a peach. And the gold meant nothing. Now, what is God doing to Pharaoh right here? Food is more important than gold. When you really get down to it. So, and this is the real value. This is the real money that Pharaoh had. The real bartering system and everything going on. You traded something for something else back then. You didn't worry about money so much. Gold and silver were trinkets. Just trinkets. Just pretties. Wasn't so much important as real value of livestock and food. Now, what's going to happen? How is God getting Pharaoh's attention? He's hitting his pocketbook now. Okay? He's attacking his pocketbook. Let's see how, if this gets Pharaoh's attention. All right? Now let's go on. Where are we on verse 3 now? Verse number 4. Who else got that? Luis, you got? Well, no, you don't have it. Ray, you want to read on a little further?
And the Lord will make a difference between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt, so nothing shall die of all that belongs to the children of Israel.
All right. Now, what's happening here? What's God showing also? That this isn't an accident. When these plagues come, they're not accidents at all. These are the finger or the acts of God bringing judgment. Now, how many people have ever read explanations of the plagues of Egypt? Oh, they've come up with all kinds of ideas. And a volcano erupted way up higher than this, and the ash went in the air, and it turned the whole Nile River into blood. And so Moses has scouts up there, and he says, hey, the water's going to turn blood, so we're going to go down and act like the water's turning blood. Now, this is what people say. You know, I mean, this is what we call the evolutionists and all these people, the people that have to do away with the miracles of the Bible. But you know what really happened there? God really turned the water into blood. And all of this great eruption of this the earthquakes, the water turning into blood, and the insects flying away from the great, terrible earthquake and volcanic eruption, all these animals came down there. And this is what writers have said. But that's not what happened. You know, some of these miracles, magicians could not duplicate, could they? All right. So now, all of these insects, all of this moraine, and all of this, did it come upon Israel? No, didn't bother them. But it was specifically judgment upon the God haters. Now, was Pharaoh a religious man?
Sure.
Was he? Pharaoh was a religious man. How many gods did Pharaoh have? He had an abundance of gods.
More than
Moses. Huh?
More than Moses.
Yeah, more than Moses had. More than Moses had. Moses had one. O Israel, the Lord our God is how many gods? One God. All right. Nothing will die that belongs to Israel. Brother Lee, have you got your Bible open?
Yes.
All right. Number 5. Let's read out of there, number 5.
Then the Lord appointed a set time, saying, tomorrow the Lord will do this thing in the land.
All right. So there was a time set. Do you think a time could have been set if all these things were really natural occurrences? It's impossible. All right. Brother Lee, number 6.
So the Lord did this thing on the next day, and all the livestock of Egypt died. But of the livestock of the children of Israel, not one died.
All right. Now, by the way, when it says all the livestock died, that's what we call a figure of speech. Okay? Not every one of them died at this time. But many of them died. It looked like all of them died. Okay? Almost all of them were dead, but here and there was a straggler. All right? Here and there was a straggler. So not all of them really died, but almost all of them died. Okay? Almost all of them died. But the livestock of Israel, not one of them died. Now number seven. Number seven. All right, Brother Lee. Number seven.
Then Pharaoh sent, and indeed not even one of the livestock of the Israelites was dead. But the heart of Pharaoh became hard, and he did not let the people go.
All right. The heart of Pharaoh was what? Now, was hardened. What kind of a, in grammar, what kind of a voice is that? This is on you. Now, this here is really important. All the time before, Pharaoh hardened his heart. Middle voice. All right? Middle voice in language. He did it. But what happens here? This passive voice, this means someone else is acting upon the person. Outside of the person. What happened here?
So God hardened his heart?
God hardened his heart.
Well, that's called what?
Huh? That's passive. See, this is really important when you took Greek, brother. See how important Greek is? And the Hebrew too. All right. It's passive. Someone else is acting upon. God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Pharaoh had gone beyond the point of no return. Remember we talked about the point of no return last week? The point of no return. He had hardened his heart too many times before. All right? So now God begins to harden his heart. Outside of Pharaoh now, God is acting. All right? And did God tell Moses before this ever happened? Did he ever tell Moses that this was going to happen before it ever happened? What did he say? You go back and you read back in the book of Genesis, and there where the book of Exodus begins, and you find out when God called Moses, what did God say to Moses? I'm going to send you to Pharaoh. You're going to do great miracles before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh will harden his heart. And he will not let my people go. But there will come a time when I will harden Pharaoh's heart because he wouldn't hear before. Boy, I'll tell you what, if you're lost and you don't know the Lord, don't go the wrong way. Right now, you harden your own heart and you will not listen to God, but there comes a time sometimes when God will harden your heart. And that's no good, is it? That's when you go out of this world into the jaws of hell, into the gaping jaws of hell, leaving the world without hope at all. Don't fight against God. Number eight. Brother Lee, you still there?
So the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, Take yourselves handfuls of ashes from a furnace, and let Moses scatter it towards the heavens in sight of Pharaoh.
All right. Take it from a kiln, a furnace. What kind of furnaces do you think? How many of you read your Bible in 8 ages when it comes to this? What did it say here? Where are these ashes? Where would these ashes could have come from, Brother Mike? Do you remember? Anybody remember?
Making brick.
Maybe this is a furnace, an iron furnace. What were they doing with these furnaces? What were they doing here?
Smelting
some of these. What?
Smelting ore?
No. What were they doing in some of these furnaces? Do you remember, Sister Andy?
I'm trying to.
Anyone remember? Human sacrifices. The sacrifices that people had sacrificed to their gods. These were the very sacrifices that fed their gods. Okay? These ashes were human bodies. Sacrifices. And they took these sacrifices. Just think about now. This is quite an insult. God is insulting their gods. Okay? The very sacrifices that they had sacrificed to appease these pagan gods. God said, go in there and get you a handful of this. All right? And what was he going to do with it? Throw it in the sky. Where? In the sight, right in Pharaoh's face. What was God doing? He's challenging their gods. Was he going to do this later again? We'll find out a little bit later on. He's going to challenge the gods of Baal. All right? All right, now he throws us into the sky in verse 9. Verse number 9. Here, are you there, Randy? You aren't going to read that in Hebrew, are you?
No, I'm not.
All right.
And it will become fine dust in all the land of Egypt, and will cause boils that break out in sores on man and beast throughout all the land of Egypt.
All right. Number 10.
Then they took ashes from the furnace.
All right. And this could have been an iron furnace. All right.
And stood before Pharaoh, and Moses scattered them toward heaven. And they caused boils that break out in sores on man and beast.
All right. Now verse 11. This is real important in verse 11 now. I want you to circle this verse. Put a little asterisk out there. Do something with this verse because this is really important. This is where God wins. All right?
And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boils were on the magicians and on all the Egyptians.
All right. Now, verse 12. This is very important also. Now, what happened here? What did the magicians do at this point? What did the magicians do?
They couldn't stand.
They conceded. We can't fight God. This God, we can't fight this. This He is supernatural. He is. Who were these magicians? They were the high priest of their pagan gods. Now, were their pagan gods protecting them? No. Not possible, is it? All right. So God went one, didn't He? This contest, this specific contest, God wins, and the magicians, the high priest of Pharaoh over these things, they just said, we're staying home. We're not even coming. You take care of it. Do something else. We're done. We're finished. Number 12. Here again do we have it. Brother Wally, what's it say there, verse number 12?
And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had spoken unto Moses.
Boy. Verse number 13 now. Verse number 13. Let's see what that one says, Brother Wally.
And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning, stand before Pharaoh, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me.
All right, number 14. 14 there. Brother Luis.
For at this time I will send all my plagues to your very heart, and on your servants, and on your people, that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth.
All right. Number 15.
Go ahead.
Yeah, read number 15.
Now, if I had stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, then you would have been cut off from the earth.
All right. You'd be dead men. Number 16. Go ahead.
But indeed, for this purpose, I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth.
All right. And verse number 17. Here's another very important verse. This is a key verse. 17.
And as yet you exalt yourself against my people, in that you will not let them go.
All right. Still you exalt yourself against my people by not letting them go. When he exalted himself against his people, who was he denouncing? God of heaven. All right. He was fighting God. Here we have a war of gods. We have the God of heaven fighting with the gods of Egypt. Now, what was the most advanced nation in the world at this time? Egypt. The most beautiful. What were the most beautiful artworks in the world at this time? Where were the most powerful armies in the world at this time? No. Egypt. Egypt. Here, God is fighting the most powerful nation in the world at this time. most beautiful artwork, the most powerful rulers. And if you go back to the Tower of Babel, back over here to the Tower of Babel, what did they build at the Tower of Babel? What was the thing? A tower. Basically, it was a great big pyramid. That's what it was. That went up to heaven. A pyramid-like structure that went up to heaven. How did they build that structure? How did this gigantic structure in Babylon, how was it built? By what means?
Slave labor.
How were the great pyramids and the Sphinx and everything in Egypt built? By slave labor. What is slave labor?
They conquered people whom they put the chain on and make them work.
Uh-huh. But what is it? What is it? A defiance? Is it defiance in itself to own slaves?
God said, by the sweat of your brow you should eat bread.
That's it, brother. You went right back there. How are we supposed to live and make our living after we were cursed in the garden? What was the curse?
Work.
To man.
Work.
To work. Now, these great princes, what were they doing while all the slaves were out working?
Beer.
Fanning, drinking beer. Watching television. Figuratively. They were out there laying back. They had all these servants and slaves fanning them and bringing them cool water and all these delicious foods and everything else. So what were they actually doing? They were defying God and saying, your curse didn't work here. We beat you. Now what's God doing? Monetarily, physically, monetarily before, now physically. What's happening to Pharaoh now? He's hurting. What's happening to the magicians, to the false prophets? They're hurting. They got beat. They're hurting. All right. This meringue. And the boils. All right. 9 and 8 on. The boils. Ulcerous informations, 9, 8 through 12. Boils covered the people and the cattle. Now, we had the moraine to kill the cattle. Now we have boils that are covering them. By the way, this is Shechiu. 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 That's basically how it is. And this is a burning inflammation that took place here from these ashes. This burning inflammation. Now, in other places in the Bible, this type of burning inflammation is also called leprosy. In some places. All right? What is leprosy a type of in the Bible?
Sin.
Sin and what? The incurable sin, wasn't it? Incurable sin. What does leprosy usually do to a person? Is there any cure for leprosy?
Well, they say there is, but I don't know.
No, now they say. Was there any cure for leprosy back then?
No, sir.
Right. Did any doctors say that they could cure leprosy? Any signs hung out on the side? Cure your leprosy here. Cure your terrible boils right here. This is, the flesh erupted. There were boils. And how many of you ever had a boil? That's a bad thing, a boil is. It hurts, doesn't it?
Ugly.
And ugly, and they hurt. All right? Now, boils and this leprosy were very closely related. All right? Exodus 9, 8 through 12. All right? And what happened here now? The Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart again. Was Pharaoh doing it now? No, the Lord was hardening his heart. And number G, the hail. Hail. How many of you have ever been in a hailstorm? Did you like that? What happened when you were in a hailstorm? What? How big a hail have you ever seen? I was up in Fish Lake Valley one time. I lived up there, and I had 50 fruit trees. And it was about August, I believe. And some of my fruit, the seasons are different up there. August and September is the time. This was late August, almost into September. And it was warm every day, probably 80 degrees up there. And I had fruit all over my fruit trees. I had a lot of apples out there, a lot of pears, a lot of cherries and everything all over the place. Just the trees were just loaded that year. And all of a sudden, the sky just turned black, and the wind started blowing probably 60 miles an hour, and hail started coming down about this size, about like a big marble. And it was coming down tremendously. The trees, I had probably 300 trees surrounding my property, all kinds of pine trees and a lot of poplar trees and a few oak trees and different things, but they were around, and some of these trees were 60 foot tall. Man, when that hail started coming down, it was raining green. It was just defoliating these trees, just knocking all the leaves off these trees. I put my hard hat on, I got a heavy coat on, and put my gloves on and grabbing buckets out there, and I went out there trying to pick my fruit off the trees. The pears and the apples looked like somebody shot them with a shotgun or a .22 rifle or something. The hail was coming down so hard. Windows were knocked out. Cars looked like somebody had shot them. All over the place. I just imagine that this was something like that. When I moved out in Valley Acres, when I left Fish Lake Valley, I moved out in Valley Acres. Run time late in the summer, what happened over there? It snowed real hard the first winter. I was right at home. And then, in the late fall, what happened again? Hail came down, and there was about 3 or 4 inches of hail all over the place. Out here, and it was warm still. Hail all over the place. Heavy hail. Let's go on. Exodus 9, 13 through 35. All right, let's go here. 13 through 35. Are you there, Randy? We read 13. All right.
The Lord said to Moses, "Rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say to him, 'Thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For at this time I will send all my plagues to your very heart and on your servants and on your people, that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth.'" Now if I had stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, then you would have been cut off from the earth. But indeed, for this purpose, I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. As yet you exalt yourself against my people, in that you will not let them go. Behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause very heavy hail and rain down, such as has not been seen in Egypt since its founding until now. Therefore, send now and gather all your livestock and all that you have in the field, for the hail shall come down on every man and every animal which is found in the field and is not brought home, and they shall die.
All right, hold on right there. God is... He said one thing here that was very important. I could have killed everybody in your land already, but because of mercy, I didn't do it. And I'm going to show one thing. I'm going to show that I am greater than Pharaoh, and I am greater than all of your gods. But even with this plague, what did God do? Did He temper it with mercy also? He gave them a warning. He told them what to do with their cattle and stuff. Bring them in the house. Hide them, get out of the field, because this is coming. I'm telling you right now. He had mercy upon the cattle, didn't he? All right. Go on, Brother Andy. And verse number 20, what does it say?
He who feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his livestock flee into the houses.
All right, hold on right there. Remember when I asked you a question earlier? Did some of Pharaoh's people believe? Did they believe?
Yes.
Was God reaching the lost, the heathens, in these acts? Now, what do you think these people believed before this? Do you think these people were religious? Well, sure. They were religious enough to even sacrifice people among them. How about down there? We looked at the Tower of Babel. All right? The Tower of Babel was a pyramid structure. All right? A pyramid-like structure. Down in Mexico and Central America, are there pyramids down there? Were these people religious down there?
Yeah.
Yet if you pull the earth apart when the earth was divided, did those people down there, did their culture greatly resemble those in Egypt? Did they have pyramids? Did they have mass slavery? Did they have human sacrifices? Think about that for a while. All they say. Is God reaching these people? Is He... Pharaoh won't hear. But are some of Pharaoh's servants hearing? Some of the Egyptians are listening, aren't they? So God, even in the great judgment, there is mercy extended, not to Pharaoh now, but to his servants. All right. Number 21. Brother Randy, go on with that.
But he who did not regard the word of the Lord left his servants and his livestock in the field.
All right. Now let's go on a little bit further.
Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, on man, on beast, and on every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched out his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and fire darted on the ground. And the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt.
All right, let's quit right there for right now. Let's think about this for a while. How many of you ever seen running lightning? Lightning balls? Have you ever seen any of that? Yeah, you have. Is it scary? All right, I remember one time up in Fish Lake Valley, I was out taking a bath out in the middle of nowhere. They had a hot well out there, and I'd go out there in 105 degree water. There, you didn't have to heat it either. It was coming out of the ground, 105 degrees. And I'd take a bath out there, and I'd just kind of lounge around in the evening, look around, look at the beautiful skies. And that night, I mean, the mountains were playing music. You could hear thunder rolling all over the place, but down in the valley, it was just dry as it could be. Just as dry as it could be. I got dressed and I started plodding around toward the house out there, and I started hearing some rumbling. I shut the engine off and I listened, and the ground was shaking. The ground was shaking. Just shaking like this. I couldn't figure out what was going on. I had never heard or seen anything like this before. This was the first time. I got back in the car, turned the car back on, and started going. And before long, I found out what the shaking was all about. It was a gigantic flash flood, 2 miles wide. I drove down into the same where the road was, and the road was high because they had flash floods out here, so the road was built up at least this high out from the rest of the desert out there, and I was following this pathway, but the water was so deep in some places I couldn't find it, but I was going, and that thing had a waterproof ignition on it and everything, and I didn't worry about it. It was real high off the ground. It was a four-wheel drive Jeep pickup, and I kept going, and the engine started dying. And boy, the water was deep. What had happened, there was so much brush coming down in the thing that had drug the gas line and kinked the gas line underneath the Jeep car, or the pickup. Then I had to get out and walk. I got out and I hadn't really gone out there with much clothes. I didn't have any socks on my feet. I didn't have any shoes. I went out there barefooted. But I had a pair of old hunting boots that I wore in the back, so I put them on my feet. And didn't have much on. Had a pair of overalls on, that was all. And I had a coat, and I stuck a gun in my pocket. And here I took off. And I mean, the water was running deep. In some places it hit me like this, and the water was rushing, and it was full of rocks. And what I heard from the thunder was rolling, great big rolling boulders that were rolling across the road and everything. And it was 9 miles from there to the highway. And I went through 2 miles, almost 2 miles of that. I finally got out of there. I said, boy, I was praying all the time. I got out of that thing and got on dry ground, and it still had not rained a drop down there. I was muddy. My feet were full of mud and sand. Matter of fact, my toenails were worn completely off of my feet. They were just worn off because of the sand in my feet. And I kept walking. Thank you, man. And that was just the beginning, because that next plague hit. Here came the rain and the lightning and the thunder. And that was the first time that I ever saw lightning run on the ground. And it was scary. I finally got out there, away from there, and lightning hit right straight in front of me. I mean, just, I don't know how far it made my hair stand on end. You ever had lightning like that? It made the electricity just made my hair stand on end, and the lightning struck right out, and it was so bright that it closed my retinas. I was blind. Went blind. I walked on out of that place feeling my way out on that road till I got out there. Finally, when I got to the road, that many miles later, one eye could see a little bit. And I went to the doctor, and it said it was like a gigantic arc flash, and sometimes your eyes just close your retinas up and you can't see it. He said one came back soon enough, but the other one didn't open up for days. I was one-eyed for a while. I got a little bit of idea of what was going on over here. Didn't have any hailstones at that time, but I saw that lightning running crossways across the ground. And they say sometimes it's like a great big tumbleweed of lightning. Have you ever heard of that? Well, it was just like it rolling lightning out there. And with all this comes thunder. Now just think about it for just a little while when God sends judgment sometimes. What happened when God told Enoch and told Noah that it was going to rain on the earth? What happened? God said it was going to rain. How long did it take Noah to build that ark, that great big boat? 120 years. Did it rain for that 120 years? Never. But with rain comes what? And with thunder comes what? I mean, with rain and with hail comes what? Thunder. Do you think they'd ever heard thunder before on the earth? Thunder is kind of a prelude to judgment. And so here God sending thunder just like he sent at the flood. God is always giving them room to repent in it. How long? Does he give these people room to repent here? He gave Pharaoh room to repent, didn't he? But he wouldn't listen. Right here, when God shut the door and closed that ark up, what happened? Too late.
All she wrote.
That's all she wrote. Did some believe on the outside? Yeah. They believed on the outside, but what happened to them? They had to die. Now here we are in a judgment time again. We live in what we call the church age. What's coming right after this? According to this chart up here, what's coming after this church age? All right. What's going to happen during the tribulation period?
Pretty tough stuff.
Pretty tough stuff. Why is the tribulation period come on the earth? There's two reasons. This is what we call
the Israelis to repent.
To bring Israel back to God, number one.
And judgment on the pagans.
And judgment upon the pagans again. They didn't learn back there in
in Pharaoh's time, the earth has not learned.
They haven't learned the lesson yet. Back in Egypt's time, you know what? The Tower of Babel, the flood, and the Egyptian bondage should have been enough for any logical person if it was logic. These are all historical facts. These really happened. You can go back in history and you can tell. You can fly an airplane and tell it was a flood. People will deny that it was a universal flood. But if you get up there in an airplane, you go over Arizona and you go over different places in Europe, what can you see from the air up there? What do you look down? You see the tracks of what? Of water. What water was. When I had that flood out there, I finally got out of that place. I went out there the next day. I had a guy take me out there. I had no car or anything. I had a guy take me out there to where my pickup was. I didn't know where that thing was going to be at all, whether it was going to be there or not. I went out there, and in the middle of where that road was, stood my pickup up on jacks. Sagebrush and tumbleweeds and everything had flowed against my wheels on that truck, and the water or the dirt had all washed away. The bottom of those wheels were about that high off the ground. And here my truck, I crawled right underneath my truck to see what was wrong underneath it, and I saw the Keith gas line.
God bless you.
And that truck was sitting there. I couldn't believe it. And I put some gas in the carburetor, turned the engine on, and started right up, and I drove it home. It had real wet carpets and everything else. I mean, there was water and mud all over the thing, but it was sitting there. The flood came and went. There's a flood coming. There's hailstones coming in the tribulation period, isn't there? By the way, that hail is Barad. Barad. Barad.
B-A-R-A-D.
B-A-R-A-D. Barad. That's what that is, hail. Next week we're going to get into to number H. Number H. And that's locust. And we're going to look at these locusts. This Arbaz. All right? Locust. I hope you enjoyed the class today. Are you learning anything? All right? Even my older students, are you learning them? The one that's listened to me teach this before? Trying to give you more and more. And get a little deeper into it all the time. Do you have any questions before I let Brother Bill get up here with a prayer request and everything? Do you have any questions? Any comments? Anything? All right, we're going to start with number H next week.